We find out what's going on in the Spanish news from El País, and it's Melissa today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin with the fact, and it's a sad story really, that an increasing number of homeless people are spending their nights in the financial district in Madrid.
Yes, so in Madrid's financial district, there are these underground tunnels, and it's been found out that homeless people, around 20 or so, are taking to these tunnels and building up their homes, but the conditions are terrible. And this particular story looked at the case of one man who had fled Syria. He'd lost his wife in the bombs, and you know he'd arrived in Spain, but without legal papers. He had sort of been pushed underground into these warren of, you know, where so many homeless people have started living.
Do we know why these tunnels are there? Got any idea?
No, it's peculiar. I think the tunnels are there because of perhaps some infrastructure or because they're quite large. If you look at the photos that we've included in the articles, there are these, you know, large spaces. But obviously, you know, people have taken to them to, you know, for drug use. There's some reports from the people who are responsible of the cleaning up these areas with like human feces and all sorts of nasty business going down in these tunnels.
But they're saying that they're not necessarily dangerous people, but they have on more than one occasion used knives to threaten workers who've gone down there.
Yes. No, I mean it's a tricky situation, and even for instance the Syrian man, you know, he isn't one to be. I think there's sort of a wide scope of people. You have those who perhaps are on the more dangerous scale, and those who are just looking for somewhere to sleep.
Sad story. Okay, political fallout continuing after rioting in Madrid again.
Yes, so this all happened last week, but it's continuing to, you know, to make the headlines. Mm-hmm. In Lavapiés in Madrid, which is this, you know, culturally very diverse area, there was a man from Senegal who was a street vendor, and he had a heart attack, and there was some confusion about the causes of the heart attack, and the rumors spread that the police had chased him and he had died as a result. Because it seemed that he's one of what they call manteros, so they sort of, you know, place their kind of goods on a blanket with rope, so that if the police come, they can quickly run away. And so he was one of, you know, this is, you know, an illegal activity, but there were suggestions that the police had pursued him and that he had died as a result. This was later found to not be true, but in the, you know, resulting sort of higher, you know, everyone was so angry that there were riots and, you know, fire being thrown, rubbish being set on light. And this has now had implications for the Madrid town city hall, which is, you know, struggling to, it's kind of a political hot potato. People within her own party, this is Carmena, have suggested she's criminalizing poverty. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Things have died down for now, but there's, you know, signs that it could be an ongoing problem.
Okay. And finally, this is a nice story in a way, but it had a sad beginning. And this was somebody who was shipwrecked when she was 10 and has come back to Galicia 70 years later.
Yes, this is a very peculiar story. So back in 1949, this 10-year-old Norwegian girl wakes up on a Spanish beach. You know, she has a life jacket, and it turns out her entire family has been killed in a shipwreck. The police officers arrive, but they can't understand what she's saying. I don't think, you know, most Spanish towns, that there are many Norwegian speakers, let alone in 1949. You know, they piece together what has happened, and she's flown back to Norway, where she's taken care of by her aunt.
And she was traveling on effectively a yacht, a big yacht, 28-meter long yacht, but she had her entire family and a dozen more people. And they were bizarrely, I mean, it was not like they were doing a small trip. They're on their way to the Galapagos Islands.
Yes, no, it was a very kind of ambitious mission. They, you know, it was just after the Second World War, and they wanted to, you know, start a new life for themselves, and they had this idea of creating a salting factory. So they were on their way, but, you know, there was a massive storm, and they had tried to sail around it, but they basically sailed into rocks instead.
Yeah, and she was the only survivor, wasn't she, of this whole yes. affair? Yeah. So, 7 decades later, she returns to the beach.
She has, and she partly because her aunt had been very strict about not talking about this tragedy, and she found out later that her mother's body had washed up on the shore and was now in a common grave in this town. So I imagine part of her return is also about visiting her mother's grave, which she says has been taken care of by a woman in the town. And then her daughter, once the woman died. So she's quite thankful for this Spanish town, for what it's, you know, it's what it's done for her.
Well, the town certainly had a mark left on them by this, and it would appear that a sailor who helped rescue what was left of the boat actually even named his baby girl Anila, which was the young Norwegian survivor's name.
Yes, no, I think, you know, she lives on, so it's a very kind of touching end that after having this experience, he's decided to name his first girl after the Norwegian survivor.
Well, more on that and all the stories are in El Pais. If you just Google El Pais in English, you can find those and more. Thank you very much indeed, Melissa. We'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks.
No problem.
Alrighty, thanks. Cheers. Bye-bye.